and Ricky, our associate pastor, are going to start grand opening, and we're going to do our first day of dedication. But I want to just say that what an honor it is that we have a pastor like Pastor Mike. This guy is so, kingdom chosen for this role. He has to deal with a Ricky, and a Dan, and a Carrie, and I will say, and if any of you know us personally, that's something that requires someone that has been through some stuff, and he's been through trainings and conferences. Don't blush, Mike. It's got to happen. I just want to honor him right now. Would we just lift up a clap to celebrate Pastor Mike? Yeah. Senior pastor.
That's it. Okay. Am I up?
I think so.
All right. Pastor Neil Carlson, one thing, Dan acknowledged, we've got some real great support, and I really appreciate the community, the pastor stepping up and helping us celebrate our grand opening, so that's amazing and humbling. We just thank you guys for being here, all you pastors. And welcome another pastor. Microphone. You got the microphone over there? Is that working?
It's on.
All right.
Very good. Can we have Mommy and Daddy come? And will you bring the masterpiece, please? You can applaud for that. You want to come between us? Come between us. Okay. It's a great night when we dedicate a baby. And I guess I'd like to raise the curtain on two scriptures. And they're familiar to many of you, especially if you read the Bible every year. But I want to read it in a different way so that perhaps some of the words will just really resonate with you in a special way. And they'll just leap out of the pages. And from Mark, we read, "People were bringing little children to him in order that he might touch them. And the disciples spoke sternly to them. But when Jesus saw this, he was indignant. And he said to them, 'Let the little children come to me. Do not stop them. For it is to such as these that the kingdom of God belongs.' Truly I tell you," said Jesus, "whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will never enter it." And he took them up in his arms, and he laid his hands on them, and he blessed them. And one of the hallmarks of Nancy, who is watching perhaps from Glory Now as she graduated a few months ago, come as a little child, and to you as a congregation, it's so hard, especially for men, to come as a little child. Because many of us have been reared to be a self-made man, and we can do this without, we can do this. Ladies have an easy way, perhaps. But nevertheless, come as a little child. And one of the paintings that Nancy drew 2 years ago when she was able to was just a little child in the hand of Jesus. And I thought to myself, wow, he's got the whole world in his hand. He can surely hold a little child. So we raised the curtain on that scripture that Jesus was just really indignant to his disciples. And then we'll raise the curtain on another scripture, which is so appropriate for you guys tonight, which is this. It comes from 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 27. "For this child I pray." And we could in parentheses put here, "For this child," Kelly and Rick did indeed pray. They indeed prayed. They prayed. They prayed three times. "And for this child I pray." This is, of course, a scripture that has to do with the mother of Samuel. Now, the scripture says, "For this child I pray, and the Lord has granted me the petition that I made to him." Certainly true after losing two in your womb. "Therefore, I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he lives, he is given to the Lord." And so, I want you to know that you as a congregation have brought in yourself to the house of God. You may not know this is the house of God, but earlier I anointed with oil the doorpost to make this a house of God. Now, it may look like a schoolroom, but guys and gals, this is the house of God. And in the house of God, this wonderful couple has come. And so I just want you to know as a congregation that you are blessed to witness what's happening, because it's not just a dedication of the baby. I like to put it, the dedication of the parents with the baby. And the difference between baptizing an infant and dedicating an infant, it's really important for those of you who may not know. We don't baptize, but we dedicate, so that as they grow up in such a home dedicated to God, then at the age of accountability, whatever it is, 7 or 8, but in the case of Mike and Robin, I baptized children that were much younger because they were growing up in a Christian home. And so that's what this is all about, is just dedicating. So to you as the congregation, you are blessed to come in and to witness this. But to you as parents, you know what? These big words are called, we want to raise our children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Let's use other words. Let's use admonition to be God's word, and nurture to be, well, it could be nutrients that, you know, you're going to, spiritual nutrients that you're going to give. And so with that, dedication of this beautiful baby, in the name of Jesus. And Mike, would you continue?
Good. What an honor and blessing it is to dedicate my grandbaby as our first sort of official act as Hope Living Church. It's really cool. I'm really, really excited. Yeah. So, God's good. So, all right. So, Kelly and Ricky, you present your baby before this body of believers in dedication to the Lord.
Yeah. Absolutely.
You promised to, as Papa was saying, raise her up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, and raise her up to know Jesus, and teach her all about Him and His wonderful ways.
Absolutely.
Church, it's really important that we as family and friends of Kelly and Ricky and Galen and Fragan, that we support them in their efforts to raise Galen to know Jesus and to provide, to the best that we can, the environment that's good for that. And we're believing that God's got nothing but good things for us here at Hope, including children's church and ministry and all that. I'm going to give her back to Mama. I'm going to get out some anointing oil. And would you guys just all lift your hands? In fact, if the grandmas and aunts and uncles come up, we do that?
Yeah.
Everybody else by proxy, we're as you can see, really tight on space here. We don't have a whole lot of room. So we're believing that God's got good things, that we're going to move next door into the gym in the really near future. But for now, we'll just gather us around. Everybody else, gather your hearts around Kaylin. I just anoint you, my granddaughter Kaylin, in the name of Jesus.
Yes.
We just ask that our Father God would just wrap you in His arms and hold you all the days of your life, and that your parents, again, promise to bring you to know Jesus and to just walk in His ways before you and give you a good example. And that your family and your family's friends promise to do the same thing. That we're going to be good examples of Jesus to you, Kaylin. And we want to raise you up to know Jesus. We just thank Him for you and all the hope that was represented and the prayers that was represented in this little life are more than we can even imagine. We're so grateful, Jesus, for this little life, and we just are thankful for the opportunity to be her family and friends and loving brothers and sisters in Christ, to see you come to the fullness of your faith in Him. So we just ask all these things in Jesus' name.
Yes.
Amen. Yes. Thank you guys for being with us tonight on this special night, Hope Living Church, our grand opening. Some of you have been with us for some of our preview services, and in those preview services I talked a lot about what's Hope about, what are we doing here, why a church, another church in the area, and why a church in Cayuga. So I'm not going to go into all that again, but I do would like to touch on a couple things. But before I do that, Daniel kind of did it really brilliantly, but we've been really blessed with an awesome team. There's a lot of wonderful people that have got a lot of hours and love and prayers invested in Hope Living Church. So we just take a minute and give a little clap offering to everybody who is responsible for something. And
already failed in my first duty, and that was to release the kids at Children's Church. So anybody else wants to step out with Kelly, they're going to go over into the gym. I don't know if we mentioned it, too, by the way. If anybody needs a bathroom break, the restrooms are in the gym in the back end there. The men's and women's are back in the back there. So I think that covers it. So we're, again, really excited to be here. We believe that God's up to something really, really amazing here in Cayugas. And, again, just it really gladdens my heart to see pastor friends from neighboring churches. I really think God's up to something really special, bigger than we can believe or dream. I believe His Word promises that, right? We're going to touch on some scriptures later, but doesn't He promise that? That He's going to do things that are going to blow us away, that are going to exceed our wildest dreams. So I believe He's doing that right now. That this little wave, this little ripple in the pond, if you will, in Cayucas is going to be a big ripple. It's going to create a wave that's going to just be revival across the whole Central Coast. So
yeah.
We're just excited about what God's doing, not just here, but across our entire region. We believe
Amen.
That
yes.
He's rending the heavenlies, that things are happening in the heavenly realms that are going to have eternal implications of what He's doing right here.
Amen.
So, again, thank you for coming. We are really excited to be able to present Hope Living Church to you, and we hope that you enjoy what God's doing here. So God's given me some really cool people, as you can tell, to support in this. I could never do this on my own. We've dreamed about doing church for a lot of years. But he's assembled a really awesome team. Dan and Carrie, our worship pastors. Ricky and Kelly, our associate pastor. Ricky's going to be speaking with us as we go along. Actually, Ricky's going to be speaking next week. Kelly's leading our children's church. So it's given kind of all of the family feel. We do have a lot of great friends that are helping us. Kim's our youth leader. We had a great youth meeting, our first official youth meeting was last Wednesday, and I went really well, so thank you for coming on, and we've got some really great people. So anyway, didn't mean to leave anybody out, but we move along here. I guess one thing I wanted to start off with as well was that Hope Living Church, we're calling this our grand opening, but really very much a work in progress. God isn't finished with us yet. We're still, you know, got the under construction sign up, as you can tell, but you know what? We're feeling like God's doing something really good. We're feeling like He's really giving us some feet underneath us, and we're rolling forward and just moving in His Spirit. And we're seeing lives already being touched and blessed, and we're believing God for a whole lot more. So as you remember us in your prayers, just keep lifting us up that God's work will be done here. I'd like to throw up a purpose statement. I thought that's kind of one of my holdovers from our previous message. I thought I'd mention that. Our purpose statement is simply this. It's we can read it. Let's read it together. Purpose statement of Hope Living Church. Living out hope through knowing God, growing in His love, and showing His love to others. I think that wraps up pretty much a lot of the gospel. Talks about, we touch on what did the Lord say was the most important thing? The two greatest commandments, right? So love the Lord your God with all your heart, and love your neighbor as yourself, right? And so the other thing, showing His love to others, I think that's a real critical part of what's going to make Hope Living Church special. We're just going to find unique and incredible ways to reach into our community and touch people for Jesus. So knowing God, obviously, is kind of first base for a lot of us. It all hinges upon us knowing the Lord. So we do obviously place a high value on evangelism. One of our core values is to reach people, reach the unchurched and de-churched people in our area for Jesus. So that's a real important thing for us. The next part about growing in His love, sometimes it's called, some churches call it things like spiritual formation, discipleship, those kind of words. That just means that once we're here and we're gathered together, we're going to grow in Him. We're going to grow closer to Jesus. We're going to really value His words and His teachings. And that's going to form really a lot of the basis of the things that we talk about and what we do here at Hope Living Church. So I wanted to kind of say this too. What to expect at Hope Living Church is we really wanted to get this feeling like Dan mentioned, that we want you to be comfortable here, but we want you to be yourself here. We want to be real here. We want to really have that be something that vibrates, that we want us to the best of our ability to be the church that Jesus intended. And I think it's a simple church. It's a church that's based on those simple values, like we mentioned in our purpose statement. So the main thing here, I guess, is we can check our halos at the door. I was thinking we could have Dan put some pegs on the backdrop there, and we can hang our halos up. So we can all just be us. Is that okay? Can we agree to that? Because when we come to Hope, we're just going to be us with all of our warts and wrinkles and whatever else. And I meant that spiritually. But you know what I'm saying? We can't get better. We can't become more like Christ if we come in and wear a mask and put on our Jesus face and smile when we're breaking, when our heart's breaking inside, or if we're having serious problems in our faith or in our relationship with the Lord. So we want to do that for each other. We want to have the room to be real with each other so that when you come in here with a hurting heart, with a need, that you'll come in and get it met. And that's one of our chief expectations. So we want to just be real. We realize we've all got issues, we've all got problems, and we believe that those solutions are going to be here too. We know that the Lord provides the answer to everything that we need through His Word and through each one of us as we come and bring our peace. Each one of us is unique. God's given us all special gifting. He's created each one of us to be so unique. I'm not going to stand up here and preach as good as Pastor Duncan or Pastor Mike. I'm just going to be me, and the Lord's going to make up the difference, and He's just going to do some special things, I really believe. So I just believe it's going to be a great ride. One of the things we're finding as we're trying to do churches, things don't always come together the best way you want it. I wanted to have a nice little video. It didn't quite work out. But I'll paint a picture. Most everybody has seen the movie Parenthood, right? Steve Martin. And there was that scene with the grandmother. I just thought that was so cool. I really love that scene where they're going through. Steve Martin is older. He's always had gray hair, I think. But he's an older guy who's finding out he's going to be a dad. And he's like having an attack. And the grandma walks in and she just talks about life being a roller coaster and not a merry-go-round. She says, I don't like the merry-go-round. The merry-go-round just goes round and round. She goes, I like the roller coaster. She walks out. Steve Martin's like, what a crazy old lady talking about life and roller coaster. What's she talking about? His wife throws something at him and says, your grandmother's brilliant, you know. And that's kind of what I see God doing here. You know, it's not going to always be the smoothest ride. It's not always going to be clear sailing. But you know what? If we're in that boat together, I see us being really much like a lifeboat. That God is pulling us all in together. We're sort of reaching out as if we're like a scene, maybe I should have gotten a video of the Titanic, you know, where everybody's in the water and they've got a few boats and they're trying to pull some people in. That's what church is we're out there trying to bring people into the lifeboat with us. We don't want to see anybody drown, right? So that's kind of what we're about at Hope. We just believe that God is sending us out in this beautiful, idyllic location in this wonderful town of Cayugas, that there are people even around us that, as we speak, are drowning. They're hopeless. They're without Jesus. And so we're hoping, again, believing that God is up to something really good and really awesome. So again, it's going to be a great ride. It's going to be fun. It's going to be challenging. It's going to be all those things. But most of all, it's going to be everything that God has intended for us to have. So we're just excited about that. So I wanted to introduce our first series is going to be based on 1 Corinthians 13:13, and I'm calling it the Faith, Hope, and Love series. So this is sort of the introduction to that. We're going to be talking over the next 6 or 8 weeks about faith, hope, and love, and going into some detail about what the scriptures have to say about it. So I'm excited about that first series. Again, to kind of give a little taste, I wanted to bring up, going to put up the first slide, which is 1 Corinthians 13:13. And I'd like to read it to you. This is out of the Voice. I use the Voice translation a lot in my studies and stuff. I like to read through the more traditional, New King James, New NIV, and that sort of thing. But the Voice just, it's like, wow, it's like a fresh way of hearing the Word of God all over again. So let's check this one out. Let's read it together. It's a nice, simple one. 1 Corinthians 13:13. But now faith, hope, and love remain. These three virtues must characterize our lives. The greatest of these is love. Right? So, speaking of love, we just had Valentine's Day, which was a great inspiration for some of what I'm talking about. But again, we're going to get more into that as the series goes on. But basically, starting with the first value of faith, I think the world needs to have faith. Pastor Neil and I were watching a TV show. We were catching up on, actually re-watching, I guess I should say, the old Lois and Clark series, or the... he really enjoys Superman, and so we've been having fun watching through that. And there was an episode that caught my attention, and this villain, his whole thing was, it was sort of like, kind of like the movie Groundhog Day, remember that? I'm using a lot of movie references. But it was like the movie Groundhog Day, remember where they'd hit the certain point of the day and the whole thing would keep recycling? Well, this movie, this Lois and Clark episode was like that, and this guy had the ability to do that, but what he was doing was he was trying to destroy people by taking away their hope. And each time they'd run back through, people would be a little more sour. It was like Christmas season. The tree in each episode would get smaller and smaller to where it was a little scraggly Charlie Brown tree. So it just was really a good picture of, you know, we really run on hope. God created us to run on hope. And of course, that hope is in his Son. And that hope is that this isn't all there is. This life that we live, as fun as it is sometimes and as challenging as it is in others, this life isn't it. This is just a dress rehearsal for eternity, and we get to be part of that. So that's the real exciting news and the hopeful news that God's going to be breaking out in all of us is this wonderful thing that we can share with others, and that's that hope of glory, that hope of being with him. So I'd like to move forward. We're kind of getting a little long on time tonight, longer than I planned on being. But let's go to Hebrews 11:1. We're going to talk about faith a little bit. Again, I'm kind of overviewing faith, hope, and love. Hebrews 11:1. And let's see. We've got the voice version up on the screen there. Faith is the assurance of things you have hoped for and the absolute conviction that there are realities that you've never seen. I like the way that reads again. There's realities that you've never seen. And that's, again, what fires us. That's what keeps us going. That's what gets us up in the morning and makes us excited to serve the Lord, is that there's stuff that we can't even dream that he's about to do. And
Amen.
He's doing that right in our midst. And we're really, really thrilled to be a part of that. And we invite you, if you're living in this community, to join us and be part of that with us, to explore all that God has in faith for us as a family of God and as a local body of believers. Faith sometimes, to me, it's kind of abstract a little bit. I don't know. People sometimes, they talk about faith, and they say, I don't know how you Christians can have faith. And I say, you know, faith, you're right. Faith is difficult. Recently, there was that little thing on the science guy was on, and he was talking to Creation Science Museum.
Ken Ham.
Yes, Ken Ham. And that was a big deal, and there was a lot of buzz going on, and a lot of the people on the agnostic to atheist side were going on about how many Christians believe, you know, and going so back and forth. And I was just so caught by, again, I believe that God's got answers that we maybe can't conceive of right now, but the bottom line is that we use faith every day, right? You go to a restaurant. We went to a neat restaurant for Valentine's Day, and I'd never eaten that kind of food before. I didn't go back in the kitchen to see how it was prepared. I didn't watch what was tossed into the pot, right? I just sat down at the table, and I had faith that it was going to be edible and it was going to taste good, right? Last time I flew in an airplane, I didn't check the pilot's license. I just got on the plane, sat in my seat, buckled in, and I followed the instructions. That's kind of, to me, as simple as what faith in the Lord is like. He said it, and I believe it, and really, there's a lot of things that I think are going to get answered, things that are problematic in faith. There's, you know, can God make a rock so big that he can't lift it or whatever, all those silly questions, but I don't know, but I'm going to ask it when I get there if it comes to my mind, but probably I'm going to be celebrating eternity with everybody so much that those things aren't even going to matter. So, let's see, let's look down a couple verses in Hebrews, to Hebrews 11:6. And this is why faith is so important. Have you ever asked yourself, I think that comes up too when you're having conversations with people that don't believe, it's, well, what is, you know, why is it so important to God that people believe? Why is it that when you say, you know, Jesus, come into my heart and be my Savior, why is that important to God? Why does that matter? Again, that's the core of faith, and that's something that is covered here in Hebrews 11:6. Without faith, no one can please God, because the one coming to God must believe that he exists and rewards those who come seeking. So faith, again, is really important to God. I think he's okay with doubts, by the way. None of us have perfect faith, I don't think. I certainly don't have perfect faith. There's many days I get up and, God, why did you allow this? Why did this have to happen? All those sort of things. But you know what the bottom line is that I can look forward to the eternal promises that he's made. And I know I can trust him with those answers. Faith is like this. It's like, why doesn't God like stick his face through the heavens and just say, believe in me? He could just come along and make it so much easier for everybody, right? And just show up, stick his face in the clouds and say, believe in me, and everybody could just bow and follow him and all that. Well, it's sort of like, that isn't faith. That's seeing. That's the, that's like walking, I don't know, walking on solid ground as opposed to, say, walking in the snow or something. That's solid ground. That's easy. That doesn't really take anything. That doesn't show God anything. But what really, I think, blesses him and impresses him is when we come to him like a child, like little Kaylin. She doesn't have to check my credentials, you know, that I'm going to do a good job taking care of her when I hold her. She's just going to accept that I'm there for her, and I love her, and I'm going to be there for her. So that's faith. We're going to talk about faith a lot more as weeks go on. Hope is the next of the three things, the three main virtues that, again, that first scripture that we talked about said was so important. And hope is basically the whole reason behind our the logo of our church, for instance, Hebrews 6:19. And Hebrews 6:19 says simply this. You can probably bring that one up. And basically, Hebrews 6:19 says that hope is a strong and trustworthy anchor for our souls. That, again, that hope that we talked about in Jesus, that hope that says we can rely on him for everything that we need, and that we can place our trust in him. Again, that is Hebrews 6:19, and that's basically the basis. Hope, it's like that anchor that when the sea gets rocking and the boat is churning, you know, and you just need to hold on, you drop anchor, and you just hold on and ride out the storm. And that's kind of what Jesus is to us. He's that thing that keeps us from drifting. And I'd like to take another scripture on hope and look at that again. One more I referred to earlier. This would be Jeremiah 29:11, which is another verse that's probably familiar to most of us. But again, this is the Lord speaking to our hearts. And again, it gives us really encouragement as we look forward to the future. I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster. Plans to give you a future and a hope. So again, God's giving us his assurance that he's behind us, he's for us, and he is going to be there for us as we go through it and put one foot in front of the other and just live this life for him. I'd like to just kind of bring up one last scripture as we're winding down to a close here. Again, the last of those three virtues is love. And again, we're going to talk about these things in a lot more detail. But I think the most important thing, which I did refer to earlier, was Jesus himself, when he was telling us what he wanted us to do. He came to him and said, all right. It was actually the scribes and Pharisees came to him and said, so what's the most important thing? He said, well, he said, love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul, and love your neighbor as yourself. So again, that's in Matthew 22. And I think, you know, where Jesus said, he said the entire law and all the demands of the prophets are based on these two commandments. So love is really his bottom line, and I think that should be ours as well. So I'm excited again for Hope Living Church. I'm excited for the messages that God's going to bring about encouraging us and bringing us together. And I just would encourage you, if you're part of this, if you want to be a part of this body of believers, just come back next week. And we'll hear more about what God has to say. I'd like to have the worship team come back up, and we'll close with another song. While they're getting set up, I'd like to pray. Let's just bow our heads and pray. We're going to pray a blessing over us, and this blessing comes from Romans 15. I pray that our God, who calls you and gives you perseverance and encouragement, will join all of us together to share one mind, according to Jesus the Anointed. I pray that God, the source of all hope, will infuse your lives with an abundance of joy and peace in the midst of your faith, so that your hope will overflow through the power of the Holy Spirit. I pray the God of all peace will be with you all. Amen. We'd love to pray with you after the service, so if any of you have prayer needs specifically, just stay up front. We'll gather over here on the side. We'll pray with you as we get.
Let's all stand together and just worship this. Let's go out this way. Sing this out.
Listen, Lord, help my soul. Oh, my soul. Worship his holy name. Sing like never before. Oh, my soul. I worship your. Let's declare our faith.
I Oh, that's right. I need about 2 hours. If I can get home to this, I'm like, oh, I'm going to get home. I'm going to get home. I'm going to get home. I'm going to get home.
Thank you.